The first thought that I come to and comes to my mind is after reading chapter 3 is if people were to take time and read and meditate through 2 Corinthians and Acts chapter 9, when Jesus called Paul, he is a chosen vessel of mine, and he's going to bear my name for kings and people of Israel, and I must show him how much he must suffer for my name. He is a chosen vessel. Chapter 4 is the divine vessel. But as we read chapter 3, when it comes to the glory of God being displayed in the vessel, do we see that glory in Paul? As a minister, as the one who bore the testimony of Jesus, in the context of that which in the New Testament is the most contrary to the testimony of Jesus, the Corinthian church. That church is the most carnal and the exact opposite of what we just read in chapter 3. And yet Paul wrote more words, if you count the words, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians than any other church. There are more words. So when you come to 2nd Corinthians, you see the way in which God ordered his life circumstantially. And the way he ordered his life circumstantially, he's in Ephesus. He's writing to the church at Corinth from Ephesus. And he says there he had the sentence of death, that he despaired of life. And so here he is at Ephesus, despairing of life, writing to the Corinthians. Why? Because he hears a report. He wrote 1 Corinthians, and then he hears the report. You read that in 2 Corinthians, especially chapter 10 through 13. So he hears the report, and the enemy comes upon him. Remember, Ephesus is the guardian city of Diana, queen of heaven, which in the Babylonian pantheon would be Semiramis, mother and wife of Nimrod. That would be the Greek. Diana is Roman, and Artemis is Greek. So there he is, in this guardian city of this deity, this darkness came upon him. And so why did God allow that? Well, if you read the first four chapters of 2 Corinthians, you see the divine strategy. And the strategy was that he was emptied. He was being emptied of himself. There was no sin in Paul's life. He was being emptied. And we just read that in chapter 3. The glory of God only comes in the measure in which we've been emptied of self. I despaired of life that I might not trust in myself, but in God who raises the dead. And so great a death was working in him. And so death is working in him, he says, but life in others. We are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. That life of the Lord Jesus is life on resurrection ground, and wherever we see the life of the Lord Jesus, we are going to see the only basis by which the glory of God can be manifested. So we want to do a study of that which we just read in chapter 3. Read through 2 Corinthians and ask the Lord to show you, what did he do with Paul? What is it about Paul as the example and template for how he's dealing with us to bring forth the testimony of Jesus, and not only that, but an abiding legacy? Does Paul have a legacy? Look at the legacy he has. I mean, you can go anywhere in the world and people have heard of the Apostle Paul. I mean, could you go anywhere in the world and hear about Jesus Christ and not hear about Paul? They're going to be very closely related at some point anywhere in the world, however Paul is perceived or understood. So as we think about what we just read, I think about Paul and I think, who would want to try to follow in his footsteps? Who wants to be in a place or condition where a sentence of death was in him, he says, as he's there at Ephesus. And principalities and powers that are guarding that city are being used as agents to bring death upon Paul. They are being used. God doesn't bring into a person's life directly from God, so they're reduced to a state of despairing life. That's the work of the enemy. But God withdrew his hand a little bit, allowed the enemy to sculpt, to shave off some chaff, and so more of that wheat and the gold of the testimony might come forth in the vessel. He says, we give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. The life of Jesus Christ was triumphing in him. How? By continually God bringing him out of conditions and states and experiences of death. He was facing death all the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in deaths often. Deaths often. That's the very chapter of resurrection. There's another message that I read this morning, Last of All to Me by Harry Foster, a co-worker with Sparks. He talks about Christ revealing himself to those that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. And what it meant for Christ to reveal himself to Mary, and then to Doubting Thomas, and to James, the brother of our Lord, and then to Peter, and then finally with Paul. And it's a tremendous chapter, least of all to me. just the way he extrapolates the divine strategy to bring us into that place like we saw in chapter 3. God's glory only comes in the measure in which we've been emptied. And that emptying comes by death working in us. And that life being released so that it becomes energizing life to others. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Death is working in me, but life in others. So we thank you, Lord, for this consideration as we look at chapter 4, the divine vessel. We know the church is ultimately that vessel, but each one of us as members of Christ, there's a individualizing of that which represents what you desire to bring forth in us as individual members of Jesus Christ, who is the head, who is the ultimate vessel of God himself, all the fullness of Godhead dwells in him bodily, the ultimate and supreme manifestation of what you intended for man to be filled with the fullness of God. So we commit this to you in Jesus' name.